People are most familiar with you as the voice of All Things Considered, and that's understandable. You've been hosting that program for 30 years. But your journey with NPR started 10 years before that, right? As a newscaster and reporter and then as an editor. I'm curious, what was it like at NPR back then?
It was very different in the sense that it was very small. I think we could have taken the entire NPR news staff and put them into the not cavernous studio that I'm sitting in right now. I was a few months shy of age 30 when I came here, and that made me fairly typical as an NPR staffer in those days. We had 10 reporters, all but one of them in Washington. We had one in a New York bureau. The audience was still pretty small, but it was full of a sense that this place was meant to be more than it was. Mm. No, we were a work in progress.
Now, you headed the news department at kind of a challenging time financially for NPR. Can you talk about that a little bit and just how, as a journalist, you navigated through those times?
It was not coincidental that I headed the news department during a financially challenging time. The financial challenges were so great, they were reduced to making me head of the news department.
Wow.
I used to say that since I had been the only NPR staffer out of the country for the previous 4 years, having opened our bureau in London and been our first foreign staffer, they couldn't find anything that I had done to bring about the disastrous financial crisis that we had in 1983. It was pretty challenging. I don't know if journalists are the best natural managers. I don't think I was. I think I had a pretty good 4 years, but I found it frustrating. We had just blown this enormous hole in the budget, and there was a lot of pessimism about NPR. And so during those 4 years, we launched Weekend Edition Saturday, to my knowledge, the only program we've ever launched that from day one was celebrated as a total success. Everything else has had a typically, predictably bumpy road, but ride. But that one was just a hit straight out. It was done by an all-star team of NPR talent, and I thought that it retrieved a sense of optimism for us. We launched Weekend Edition Sunday the next year. We got Fresh Air on the network out of Philadelphia as a national program. What I discovered was that as a journalist, even as a program host, I'm much more built for coming into work, doing something, and going home than coming into work, planning something, having a meeting, moving it another yard down the field, knowing that we'll score a touchdown maybe in 9 months. That kind of work was not what I was cut out for, I thought. So I was delighted to be able to ascend to radio heaven in the job I've had for the past 30-plus years.
I'm surprised, though, with all the successes that you did have, that they didn't just demand that you stay, you know, doing that.
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask. You'd have to ask them, but I'm very happy they didn't ask me to stay. I'm very happy that they figured out it was okay for me to become a host of a program.
I think we're all happy, actually. Your colleagues have said that you have an uncanny ability or a knack to be in the right place at the right time when news unexpectedly happens. Just as an example, you were in China in 2008 when a massive earthquake hit the region where you were. What was it like? I mean, how did you mobilize after that massive earthquake?
Well, after everybody got out of the hotel, and, which was a feat, we met. We were sitting on a soccer field next to the hotel. My colleague and then co-host Melissa Block was, she was a dynamo at this point. And we said, all right, let's go and head toward the epicenter. And we decided to rent two vans, she in one and with her crew and I in the other. And we just headed north. We took a lot of water and drove into the night where, you know, I saw these makeshift field hospitals bringing the injured out, and a caravan, a nonstop flow of emergency vehicles coming up the equivalent of the interstate highway out of Beijing and everywhere else to take care of the injured. We got a glimpse of China, shocked by this horrible tragedy, responding like a normal country, responding like a normal place with tens of thousands of people injured, at least, and not hiding from it the way they had in 1976 when there was a huge earthquake that I had only read about. So it was challenging. It was fascinating, and I thought we responded awfully well.
I'm sure you've planned to retire for a while, but I'm just curious, in this intense news climate, have you had any second thoughts cross your mind about maybe staying on?
Not really. the serious plan to retire at this point was really begun about 3 years ago. Okay. And so I've been thinking in terms of that since 2014, I guess it was. And it's quite voluntary and very happy. And the news is always very gripping. It always, whatever it is, it feels at that moment that, you know, this is the moment of the controversial and Trump presidency and the weekly disclosures of somebody else who behaved like a moron with women, or a criminal perhaps with women some years ago. Or it's this is the thick of the war on terror. This is the thick of the national health insurance plan being approved for the first time. This is the we're in the thick of the war against Iraq and what's going to happen there, or the war in Afghanistan, or the impeachment of President Clinton. Whatever it is, whatever time it is, there's something that's very demanding and very absorbing. And when I made my decision to retire from this, I just assumed something compelling and fascinating would be going on in the world at that point, and I'd just have to sit back and listen to it on the radio.
So you'll be content to kind of watch and listen, you know, from the sidelines.
I think so. I think so. I can't predict what I'll feel with great accuracy, but I think so, and I haven't had serious second thoughts, no.
And any words of advice for Mary Louise Kelly, who's taking over as host later this month?
She doesn't need a lot of advice. She is the second person who used to edit this program to become its host. I was the first. My advice is that you should not stifle your own curiosity. Don't worry too much about what audience researchers might tell you is what people want to hear from us. If you're really interested in it, you'll be able to make other people interested in it, too.
Robert Siegel, it has been such a pleasure talking with you. I really want to thank you for making the time, and thanks for all that you've done to kind of make NPR what it is today.
Erin, thank you very much. I have very fond memories of a story I did out of Greeley and of the hospitality of KUNC when I was there. So thanks to all of you for that, and also thanks to the station and for all the people listening for the support they've shown indirectly, if not directly, to NPR.